Fountain Church app or Facebook Live. And you can also watch us on fountainchurch.com. We look forward to seeing you soon. Until then, remember, everything you need is in the fountain.
And we dealt with Hall of Famers talking about how God allows us, having such a great cloud of witnesses, to continue to watch us as we're being, as we're going through our fight. Amen? And it says that we should lay aside every weight because they're watching us. In other words, when the Hall of Famers show up to your game, you play a little different. Amen? So, but all right, Lord, I'm just going. Amos 3:7. All right. So you got it when you get there? We just got back late last night from a prophetic conference out in Las Vegas. So we've been grinding all weekend. But God moved in that house. Amen. We were with Prophet Lola Hester from Refreshing Waters, and so we had a great time. So I've been hanging with prophets all week. They're a special breed. But I believe God's given me a special understanding for the prophetic anointing. It is so important for us as the body of Christ, and I will say the body of Christ in general, but Fountain of Love specifically, to understand the prophetic, because we are a prophetic church, if you haven't figured it out already. In other words, our church gets spiritual assignments that every church may not get. We are what is called a watchman church, in that there are times where we come to church to be ministered to, and there's other times we come to church to minister, all of us. Everybody with me? So we may get a prophetic assignment to pray, like we just did, over an issue plaguing our region, our area, our church, or something like that. And so our church can shift real quick. And we went from happy singing to pulling down sexual demons. You know, it can just happen. And there's like, okay, woo, that was deep. You know, did she say check their booty? Yeah, she said check their booty. If you've been here for a while, you're just like, yep, that's it goes down like that here. It can just happen. And so, you know, when you come behind that, it's kind of hard to teach this message, you know, like, okay. But I appreciate my mother. I appreciate the prophet of this church. Amen. And a prophet is not one who just prophesies, or one who operates in the office of the prophet. And the prophet spends time with God on the other side of the veil. The veil is a proverbial term used. The veil was in the temple, right? And it separated the ark from the holy place. But the veil really represented the separation from the spirit realm and the natural. And so prophets spend their time on the other side of the veil. They spend a lot more time in the spirit realm, communing with the spirit realm, communing with God himself. And we have to, you know, go into to our prayer closet and really concentrate and hear the Lord. You know, prophets and apostles and different ones like that, pastors and what have you, it's like this constant communion with the Lord. And he would just interrupt your day and tell you things that you were not planning on. Nor are they comfortable to talk about. But he lets you know, you better say what I said. Because a prophet has to say what they are commanded to say. I promise you, she did not come up here thinking I'm going to receive offering and talk about booties and rape. That was not on her agenda. Am I right, prophetess? And so she has, and then prophets, a lot of times they deal with emotions after they sit down, because they deal with a lot of rejection, because they're out there looking weird because they just said something weird. And so they have to sit down and wonder, like, I hope I didn't mess up. And so sometimes you'll see her looking at me to make sure I'm with her, and I have to stand up. I'm with you. I got you. Don't worry about it. You got to say what God said, even if nobody sees it. I believe God sees it. We say, prophet, we believe in you. Come on. We believe in you. We trust you. I mean, nobody signs up, hey, offering and booty. No, like we didn't plan that. You understand? But we gotta say what God said, because Amos 3:7 says, read this. Surely the Lord God does what? Nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Listen, there are secrets on the other side of the veil, and there is a certain group and office that God reveals to, that he doesn't reveal to regular laity or people who do not walk in that same office. And some of those secrets are concerning you. They're concerning your house. They're concerning your future. They're concerning this nation. And God doesn't do anything. What does it say? God does what? Nothing. Do you think God is still doing things right now?
Yes.
How many believe God is still doing something? How many believe he's still doing things in your life? There's some things in your life that God wants to do that have not come to pass, and they're secret from you, but they reveal it to a prophet. Can you see how important it is to know a prophet? Prophecy. Listen, for those of you who don't know, prophecy is when God speaks through a man or woman to man concerning his dealings, concerning his purposes, concerning his plan. Those of you that have joined us and not familiar with the prophetic church or prophecy, that little trifold, we have some scripture in there. You can open it up and turn to that part where it says, why do we prophesy? And we give scripture for what that is. Amen. It's all throughout the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 will tell you all about it. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 13 will as well. It talks about prophecy. It's when God talks through mankind to man, and they're not allowed to speak their words. They must speak what they hear from the Spirit of God. So oftentimes, prophets are very misunderstood. They're looked as weird. They're asked to do things that are not comfortable. Are you listening to me? They have to say things that are not comfortable. They have to say things that don't make them popular. And oftentimes, God has them demonstrate what he's actually saying. They're very demonstrative. So you'll see them in capes. You'll see them with shaven heads. You'll see them with purple hair. We saw purple hair this weekend. Now, I know maybe I'm a little older. That's a little different for me, right? So, but they do, I mean, ask Hosea. Hosea was told to marry a prostitute. Jeremiah was told to shave his head. There was another one who was told to shave it bald. Y'all listening to me? Prophets still exist today. One of them's in our church. We got another budding one over here on my left. And he has to say and do weird things. I got another seer right here. There's a different one. I got a seer right here on the front row. So you see him do weird things like run up and down and tackle people sometimes. No, I mean, you're like, man, what's wrong with Elder George? Elder George is different. And we love him just the way he is. I got Elder Christina. She's a seer. She don't pray like nobody else. Is that Chinese? Is that what it's... And if you talk to her about her revelations, it's like, ooh, all right, okay, I'm through, all right. Because they operate in another realm. And guess what? There's probably some young prophets in here budding and being turned, and you're in 5 a.m. prayer, and things are, and you're having weird dreams and you don't understand why. You're having encounters and you don't know why. Because listen, there's a gift in you being stirred up because of the church that you're in. Find the passage for me where it says, believe your prophets, and so shall ye prosper. Believe your prophets, so shall ye prosper. It also talks about that we will be established. That you will be established. Listen, this is, did you find that there? Yeah, okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, that tail end, it says, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. Somebody say, believe the prophet. See, sometimes when the Holy Ghost reveals, when God reveals things to a prophet and they see things, listen, I mean, I know she was on it because as I was coming down the stairs, God dropped something on my heart concerning someone in that exact area. And, he'll just interrupt. You need to check on this. You need to go look at this. And God talks to you like that sometimes, too. And sometimes you'll ignore it and think it's your own mind. Oh, is that me? No, you better check it out. It's better to just go on and be safe. Go follow behind them and see what they're doing. Open the door and don't knock. Grab their phone right now. It's you, Sunday. You feel like, we didn't sign up for this. We didn't sign up for this. Ooh, this is heavy. But we have to, listen, we have to, we cannot ignore that voice in our heart. We cannot ignore that voice when God is talking to us about our family, about our future, about our children, about the next generation, about decisions that we need to make. And listen, you need to believe the word of the Lord concerning you. I see so many people that get prophesied to and they're happy when they hear the prophecy, but they don't hold on to the word or they don't obey the word. How many have ever received a prophecy about your future, about your family, about what God's going to do? Amen. You can prophesy to yourself. You can always prophesy God's word, but there's sometimes where God gives a specific word concerning you about some decisions you need to make and a direction that you need to go in. And all prophecy, say it with me, all prophecy is conditional upon your obedience. So there's a lot of people who have not walked into their prophecy because they have never been obedient. They've never walked it out. This is why so many prophecies start with, if you will do this, God will respond this way. And some of us are not prospering because we have not believed the prophet. I was talking to someone just the other day, and they were starting a business, and the business was doing well, and they went to the prophet, the prophet began to pray over their business, pray for the success of their business, and after they got finished praying for him, the prophet said, the Lord said, you need to sow a seed concerning your business so that it will prosper and that it will do well. And this person, catch this, this person, the business owner, said, okay, and never did it. Now the business was already working. It was doing well. But the word of the Lord came from the prophet, said, okay, you dedicated the business. Now you need to sow a seed, a financial seed toward his house to show that you're going to keep him first. Because God oftentimes asks for a type of sacrifice. We're not bringing animals anymore. So the thing that we sacrifice is our finances and our resources. Amen. And so this is scriptural. So the person didn't do it. They were on a prime corner for their business. Everything was working. The whole thing is shut down now. And therefore, they did not prosper because they did not believe the prophet. And the problem, the biggest problem today is we're too familiar. We just think, oh, that's just Sandra. Oh, that's just Pastor Jerry. Oh, that's just Elder. That's just Elder Christina. But when we need a miracle, we want their prayers. But when they give directions, we don't want to listen. Stay with me. Somebody say, believe the prophet. Now, here's the thing about prophecy. And, you know, I'm just following the Lord because this is not the direction I was planning to go. But look at this. Look at what I found here. 1 Timothy 1:18. I'm talking about young people, right? This is the book of Timothy. Timothy, let me just tell you who he was. He was a really young guy who God called to pastor a church. He's like 23 at the time he took over, or younger. For those of you who don't know, most of the disciples were teenagers and in their early 20s. Okay, and this means God uses young people, very young. You know, I know, you know, those of us in our 40, we still think we're young, but God, you got to think he was older than Jesus when he died on the cross. Jesus was 33. That's why I used to tell people when I became pastor, oh, you're a really young pastor. I said, well, I'm older than your Lord and Savior was when he died on the cross. And that changed your whole perspective. Because we usually see Jesus as 45-year-old man, you know, got up on the cross. No, he was 33. And he was the oldest in the group, which is why he sat at the head of the table during the Passover. Everybody else had to be younger than him. They said John was like 13 or 14. You know, John the Revelator. So Timothy was this young guy who was called by God. And look at what Paul, his spiritual father, said to him. Let me tell you something about Timothy. Timothy had a Greek father and he had a Jewish mom. And his Greek father, you know, wasn't initially saved. So, you know, his faith was received from his mother and his grandmother. That's why in 2 Corinthians, or turn there first, actually. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1. I think I want to say about verse 5 or 6. Look at what Paul says to him. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am also persuaded is in you. Which means, if we talk about faith is transferable. Amen. Which means, listen, maybe both your parents are not saved, young people, or maybe you got some folks that are out there. All you need to do is connect with a grandma or a mom or somebody that got faith and sit up under them and watch them walk the walk of faith, and that faith can be transferred to you. Some of you came and none of your parents are saved. You get connected with somebody that's full of faith. And he says, I remember the faith. Notice he never said his father. The faith wasn't in his father. The faith was in his mother and his grandmother. And he says, I'm persuaded that it's in you. And look what it says in verse 6. It says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. Somebody say, stir up the gift. Every single one of us has a gift, a quality, a faculty about ourselves that God put there before we were born, that is going to help us get to our purpose. And it is the anointing on our life to get things done. And so Paul is telling Timothy, listen, this faith that is in you, that's being built, listen, it started in another generation. It started in another generation, which means this. If you're in the middle of a trial and you're in the middle of a faith fight, your kids are watching how you go through. They're watching your attitude as you are going through your difficult time. They're watching, are you going to slip up and cuss? Are you going to watch and lose your character? Are you going to slip up and lose your character because things are difficult? Your kids, they're a lot smarter than we were. As far as information, let me just say that. Let me clarify. Not common sense, but information, they're smarter than we were. And so the stuff that we were clueless to, they're not clueless to. You know, because they can go online, they can figure it out. So, in other words, they're not oblivious to what it is that you're facing. They may not be talking about it with you, but they're definitely talking about it with their friends. They're in the room saying, well, you know, I think my parents might be getting a divorce, or I think my dad just lost his job, or I think we're losing our house because I saw the notice on the door. And so I went and Googled it. I took a picture of it, Googled it, and it means this. It's called 3-day notice. We were the generation, we had to have papers pinned to us. Remember, we come home, mom, here's my note. Did you read it? No, they said I couldn't read it. We would really not read the note. We got kids now intercepting messages, you know. They rewired a whole phone. It won't even ring. It's going directly to their voicemail. They forwarded all the numbers to their cell phone. Right? So we don't know what's going on. But listen, they know what you're going through, and they're watching your attitude. They're watching your behavior. They're watching, okay, we saw her praying and lifting her hands at church, but I'm watching her attitude when she gets home. I'm watching how she really feels. Like your kids are just standing by watching you while you're having them conversations at church. Child, I'm just believing God and I'm just trusting God. And they say, Mac, no, you're not. You a lie from the pit of hell. You're not trusting God. Was you trusting God when you was watching TV all night? Was that what you... And then watch him when you're lying. Oh, yeah, I couldn't make it. I just, you know, my stomach was hurting. No, it was scandal. And then when they're not doing right, you want to be spiritual. And you want to hold them to the word. They say, well, I didn't know it was real. I thought you was punking me every Sunday. Well, you got to believe God. Why? You don't. Oh, it's quiet. Like this generation wants authenticity. They don't want you to be faking and no. Listen, if you're going to be a believer all the time. If you're going to check me about my music, check your radio sets. I seen your Pandora and your Spotify too. You listen to all that sexual music. You listen to the sexual music too. Yours is just old people singing it. Let's get it on. Me and Mrs. Jones, come on now. If I started that, me and... Somebody say, hey! Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones, Jones. But the song's about adultery and you listening to it and wondering why you got problems in your marriage. How are you dancing with your wife to Mrs. Jones? Think about it. Think about it. You singing it in her ear. Mrs. Jones. Dummy. Come on. And you're wondering why faith is not transferring. It's hypocritical. Faith is transferable. And listen, sometimes holding the line is not comfortable. I can't do that. I got another generation watching me. I need them to believe God. I need them to know that this works. And so I'm to the place now where my kids, hey, listen, this is what we're going through. This is what I'm facing. I talk to them about, you know, my little walking condition that crept up on me. So they're watching me walk out the walk of faith. So I tell them the victories and I tell them the setbacks so they can see that. It may not materialize right now. All I know is I'm pricking them with the word constantly so they can make the connection, check this, to delay their life or the scripture. I want them to look at their life through the lens of the scripture. So I'm taking the scripture and say, okay, I'm believing this. And because the Bible says this, so this is what I'm doing. They'll come to me and say, Dad, you know, you're really successful. We're really proud of you. We're amazed at what goes on through your mind. Well, hey, listen, you want the secret to my success? The Bible says the unfolding of the word gives us light and makes the simple wise. I wasn't this smart before. It's God's word. And if you do it, it'll happen for you too. Now, if I say that and then they see some contrary character down the road, then guess what? It unplugs them from the system. We caught you. No, it ain't real. It doesn't mean that I can't make a mistake, but I'm not going to practice sin in front of them. How about I just don't practice sin at all? Right? Because my walk of faith and me and my wife going through the difficult things that we go through and them watching the future center be built and watching us pray and watching us believe God and share it with them. What am I doing? I'm making sure that somebody's going to say to them, I see the faith in you that was first in your mama and your daddy. And I'm convinced that it's in you. So Timothy was this young man who didn't come from a perfect family. Everybody wasn't saved, but he connected with the right group and watched them walk it out. And so that faith got instilled in him, and it was enough faith to propel him into ministry. Young. Which is why Paul was always telling him, listen, Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth. That's why it says that in there, because he was young. And he says, don't let anyone despise your youth. Why? Because he had older folks in his church that he had to pastor who also had questions about his heritage. Because your daddy's not Jewish anyway. Are you listening to me? But guess what? He didn't let his heritage stop him. He says, listen, he says, don't neglect to stir up the gift that is in you by the laying on of hands. Anybody had hands laid on them? Now, this laying of hands was talking about an ordination service. But the Bible gives further information about this moment with Timothy and the laying on of hands. And that's the scripture we were just at. Actually, let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and 14. And then we'll go to 1 Timothy 1 and 18. Look at Timothy. What Paul says to Timothy again. These are letters to Timothy. He says, read this with me. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands with the eldership. So we saw that Timothy had this faith, but then there was a gift on the inside. The faith came from his mother, but the gift came from the laying on of hands. And then we see that the gift was given by prophecy and the laying on of hands. Where do we start? We started with God does not do anything unless he first reveal it. Secrets to his prophets. And then we saw, believe your prophets and so shall ye prosper. And now we see this young man on Youth Sunday who had a gift on the inside of him that got there because somebody prophesied to him. And hands were laid on him. See, a prophet has the ability to see gifts in you you do not see in yourself. They are anointed to identify gifts. And they're also anointed to tell you what your gift is not. They will tell you, baby, that's not it. Oh, I feel like I'm a prophet. No, you're not. I feel like I can sing. No, you can't. I have that gift. I have the gift to tell people they can't sing. I've had it my whole life. You're in the Lord's choir. That's out here. Fountain of Love's choir is up here. No, I'm just... I remember back in the day when we used to have singing auditions. It'd be like The Voice. I wish choir auditions were like The Voice. You know what I mean? Just chairs and you hit the button and turn around. But I used to be on the drums back in the day and people would start singing and I would live for like the choir auditions. This is when I was less saved. And when someone grabbed the mic, I could just look on their face and know that their vocal cords were not developed. I could just see before they opened them up, as soon as their tongue came out, I said, nope, it's not gonna be good. And I would just lay down under the drums and cry laughing. And they would just hear this in the background, woo, sweating. And Michael, because he was on the piano, he couldn't hide, so I'd just be behind him crying, and he would just be up there sweating, trying to keep a straight face. Ooh, they can't sing. Ooh. Mom, come on. How was choir rehearsal? Mom, let me tell you, the joy of the Lord came in that room. And we cried laughing. But you have gifts. Listen to me. You have gifts and they can be stirred up by that of the prophet. Things in you that you don't understand. And can I tell you something? Your gift is the one thing the devil does not want you to find out what it is. That special thing that God created you for, your secret sauce, he don't want you to figure that out. Because if you figure that out, Paul said this, I was reading it the other day. He says, I can't wait to get with you. He said this in the book of Romans. I can't wait to get with you to impart some spiritual gift that you may be established. That word established means secure and set firmly. In other words, when you find out what your gift is, you don't have insecurity about where you fit. You know who you are because it's a part of who you are. Because a lot of times we're wandering around. See, some of our young people, we can't figure out what major they should be in because they don't know what their gift is. We can't figure out what direction we should go because we don't know what our gift is. So we're trying all these different things because our gift has not been revealed and we don't know what we were created for. And we're doing things that are not in sync with our purpose. But once you find out what your gift is, insecurity leaves you. You're no longer looking at somebody else's gift, wishing you had it. Wishing you could be like them. This is why we got so many young people studying Instagram to find out their image and their value. And following these, and literally worshiping these celebrities because they don't know who they are, because they don't know what their gift is. And so this is why Paul told him, do not neglect to stir up the gift that is on the inside of you. And then he says, for God has not given you what? The spirit of fear, because fear causes your gift to dry up. And if the gift is not working, the only thing that will be working is fear and insecurity. And a prophet comes and can speak to you and say, you're called to do this. You can prophesy to your child. No, I see God's hand on you concerning this. I'm watching your natural inclination towards these types of things. And I see God's hand is on you. And matter of fact, that was in your grandfather. And you come from a long line of people that can do this, that can write, that can do certain things or be in business. And it gives them a sense of knowing, like, oh, really? Really? I remind my kids that they come from a long line of educators. Because it's something that does, something happens when a kid knows it's in his heritage. The same as when they know they come from a long line of alcoholics or jailbirds. It does not give them security in their future. It was like, well, I'm just going this way because everybody else did it. Am I talking to anybody in here? You got to know what you were created for. You got to know what your gift is. And then get this. It helps you understand your personality because your gift is infused and a part of your personality. And if you don't know why you do certain things, it's because you don't know your gift. And here you are trying to change things about yourself. And God specifically designed you that way. And one encounter with a prophet, one encounter with the prophetic word, can bring clarity to years of confusion. Stay with me. 1 Timothy 1 and 18. We're just talking about Timothy, this young guy. Now we saw that his gift, his faith came, it was inherited from his grandmother and his mother. Thank God for praying grandmothers and praying mamas. Apparently, it's not a new trend. Some of us are in here right now because we had a mama who prayed and a grandmother who prayed. Raise your hand if that's you in here. Like, you'd have been in jail if it wasn't for your mama or your grandmother. And some of us, mama was tripping, so grandma had to raise you. Or you spent all your time with grandma because mama was working all night. But you're here. Somebody got Eunice's faith in them right now. And look at what your faith has already produced. And your grandmother, you sat there with her and listen, you know, she couldn't run around and play with you the way the other mamas did and things like that, but they were there. But I want you to catch this. Somebody's mama was prophesying over them. Your mother was prophesying over you. Your grandmother was prophesying you. Some of us who had good fathers, your father was prophesying over you and telling you all the things that you were going to be, all the things that you were going to do, and how you wouldn't make the mistakes of previous generations. They seemed really mean, and you couldn't go nowhere. You couldn't go outside. You had to go to bed at 9 o'clock. You couldn't watch this. You couldn't watch that. You couldn't drink that. No, no, that's not your friend. Anybody have parents who told them who your friends were? That's not your friend. Oh, that's my friend. That's my best friend. You don't even know them. Parents, let me license you to tell your kids who their friends are. I tell my kids all the time. That's your friend. No, you just know her. But that's not your friend. No, that's my best friend. Does she know Jesus? Your friend's in this house. Listen, I'm just gonna be real. If I see a child and I love everybody, but if I see a child going another direction than what I know God has called, in other words, if I see something in them that is contrary to the prophecy that's in you, we're going to sever that relationship, or we will put them in what is called the safe place. So they'll think that they're your friend. Oh, it's quiet. But they're in a safe place. I hope y'all listen to me. I hope you're listening. Listen, you cannot afford to hang around people whose lifestyle is contrary to your prophecy and opposed to the gift on the inside of you. You know, they say that your income is the average of the five people you hang around the most. Could it be that your kids' grades are the average of the kids that they hang around the most? You know, the world even say birds of a feather flock together. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, who you hanging out with is going to affect your opinions, how you dress, how you think, what you strive for. Listen, if you're born an eagle, you don't hang with chickens. Amen. And you definitely don't date chicken heads. Amen. Just want to add that to your notes. It doesn't mean you're not kind to everybody, but what would you do if you went to a farm and you saw a bald eagle walking around pecking on the floor, picking up seeds with chickens? You would think, what in the world is going on with that eagle? Somebody must not have told them they can soar, and the chicken can only fly for enough to get away from the rooster. Come here, girl. And you know people like that. You know people like that, that will fly for a short period and then they'd go right back to what they was doing before. And here you are with this large wingspan, and God's called you to another level. He's called you to elevate into ascend. He's told you to soar on. Did you know eagles soar on top of hot air? In other words, the pressure that is going down, they float on top of what is keeping all other birds at lower levels. So when the Bible says mount up on the wings of eagles, that's saying soar on top of pressure. And that's what you're born to do. And here you are, you got the wingspan, you have all the makeup and the DNA. There's a prophecy over your life that says you're supposed to soar, and you're hanging around with chickens telling you that prophecy's not true. How could it be you? Time to stop hanging around with chickens. And sometimes it may have to hurt people's feelings. And listen, that don't mean you can't help people up. We believe in helping people up. But some of us are in the same place because we're too scared to hurt people's feelings. Well, I've been here with you. I understand. That's my girl. Oh, you done left the hood. Who get rich to go stay in the hood? I just want to know. I didn't strive, hey, you stay in the hood and the hood rob you. No. Okay. And them same folks, because listen, people's paradigm don't change. And them same folks that was like, oh, you down. They hating on you when you blow up. Oh, it's quiet. And that doesn't mean you can't be true to people. I receive what I'm saying with balance. But listen, God has called you to another level. And you got to say, you need to get with the right kind. Listen, can I say this to you? Prophet Fuller, we were talking, and he shared a message about the parable of the talents. And it was talking about those that traded, remember? It was talking about those that multiplied. You remember, one got one talent and he buried it. Another one got five and he multiplied. Another one had 10 and he multiplied it. But the ones that multiplied, go back and read it. It says they traded with the same. They traded with the same. Don't you know that you're created to multiply? Everything you touch is supposed to multiply. Right? So listen, If you're supposed to multiply, if your spirit was created to multiply and to produce more and to create more, what can you multiply hanging with a zero? Nothing. If the man who had five traded with the same and got another five. The problem is many of us are not multiplying because we're not trading with the same. Listen, young people, if you're trying to go to USC, if you're trying to go to UCLA, why are you hanging with somebody aspiring for UEI? I'm not knocking if you go to UEI, but I'm just saying it doesn't make sense. Y'all hanging out every day aiming at two different targets. Oh, it's quiet. It's quiet. Because see, you got to have in-season friends and out-of-season friends. And when you're in-season and God's taking you somewhere, you can't hang with folks that's out of season. Like right now, I'm training. Don't you know boxers don't even sleep with their wife while they're training? Because they'll deplete themselves and they won't have the testosterone they need to fight. And when you're training, you don't do everything with everybody. Oh, and see, the problem is some of us are not training. We're not planning to go anywhere. But is there anybody in here planning to go somewhere? Anybody planning for 2018 to be better than 2017? Is anybody wanting to get to the next level financially, emotionally, mentally? Then you need to prepare yourself and you need to get with trainers to help you get there. Start checking your phone and see how many hours you spend on the phone with people. Take a survey of the salaries of your friends and then average them and see where yours is at. Oh, it's going to be a cold world. Well, why? Why you want to know my salary? I'm doing a survey. Because broke people love to sit back, do nothing, and talk about how they're going to be rich one day. I need to be around people that are in agreement with my prophecy. I need to be around people, get this, and you need to be around people that stir your gift. When you get around them, it ought to stir something in you. I need to go home and get myself together. I need to do this. Hey, man, what you do today? And well, I spent all my time at the library. I was researching this new product because I believe I have an invention, so I'm going to be working on this, and I'm just doing some research on that. Well, what you do today? Oh, I was binging on Netflix. Them same people is the one that would swear they don't have no time to pray. Ask them what they're spending their time doing. What are they producing? What are they making? What are they working on? What are they striving for? Check and see if what they said 6 months ago, have they done anything to back it up? If you're dating anybody and they tell you, oh, so what are your plans for life? Oh, I plan to do this. I plan to do that. Don't get all excited. Ooh, girl, he gonna be a doctor. Yeah, his name will be Dr. Pepper. That's about it. Because he hasn't done anything. That's why you sit, that's why you watch and see if actions match words. Because young lady, you got somewhere to go. And you need to make sure he's going the same way. Because you know you want to drive a certain way and live a certain way and see if his actions are matching up. Oh, that's a Kia. I need a Range Rover. That's ain't nothing wrong with that, but whatever you're aspiring for, you better add it up. Listen, because sometimes this message offends people, and the main people it offends are folks with poverty mindsets, and I'm sorry. I didn't come here to be your friend. I have to tell you the truth. Well, the Bible says be content. Well, you go on and be content. And you can misinterpret that scripture if you want to. Listen, wherever I am, I'm going to be content, but that doesn't mean I don't still keep striving for the next level. I'm trying to help raise you up. Let's go to this last scripture. I'm gonna be quiet. 1 Timothy 1:18. Y'all there? Y'all there? Let's read it together. This I charge, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies, which did what? Went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made what? Shipwreck. Now listen, what's the name of our series? Fight, faith fight. We're talking about fighting the good fight of faith. But look at what Paul tells this young man again. He says, we know that he had faith that he got from his grandmother. We know that he had a gift that fear was trying to keep dormant. So he said, don't neglect to stir it up. The gift got to be served. Then he says, that gift got in you through prophecy. Now it says, Timothy, I want you, concerning the prophecy, that put the gift in you, war over it, and fight a good warfare. Y'all see the connection? This is why you need your prophets. Because let me tell you something about prophecy. Prophecy is a bloody mess. Well, what do I mean? I mean, when you get a prophecy concerning your life, war starts in the heavenlies concerning your prophecy. War starts in the heavenlies concerning your prophecy. What things have been spoken over you concerning your future, and you're wondering why you're going through some of the trials and tribulations and difficulties you have right now? Because there's a war going on concerning the gift that's in you because of prophecy, and the prophecy concerning your life to make sure it does not come to pass. You have the holy elect angels fighting on your behalf. You have fallen angels warring against you to make sure it doesn't come to pass, to make sure you fulfill generational curses and not God's plan over your life. So he says, listen, I need you to keep them in your mind. And look at what it says here. It says, go back to 18. It says, the prophecy that went before you. Do you see that? The prophecies which went before on thee. In other words, prophecy goes before you to clear the way. Are you listening to me? Prophecy goes before you to clear the way. You have to keep in mind that prophecy and understand that it has begotten war. The moment that you get a declaration that you're going to do great things, that you're going to fulfill God's purpose, that you're going to be this CEO, that you're going to own businesses, that you're going to finance your family, that you're going to be a blessing to others, as soon as that prophecy goes forth, war has started. And you actually have to war to bring that thing to pass. When we talk about a faith fight, what about the faith fight to fulfill prophecy? I'll give you an example. There was a prophetic word over my life that I didn't even know about. God had his hand on me, and I didn't know it. And I would wonder why I would have certain encounters as a very, very young boy. Spiritual ones. I remember I had a dream. Well, this was back when we lived in Huntington Beach. I probably had to be 3 or 4 years old. And I had a dream that a witch had come in my room. It was about this tall with a little black hat. Jumped on me, was scratching up my face and all that. And I just thought I was going off in the room and everything like that. I woke up the next day and had scratches all over my face. Demonic encounters. Then I would go to school and I would have some of the most difficult racism against me in classrooms with teachers. And didn't understand why. Didn't know what was going on. Different things that I face in the neighborhood. Kids would try to jump on me, and, you know, good thing my brother taught me karate and everything like that. You know, not like real karate, like the ghetto karate. But it worked. It worked. And so J. Mike taught me how to slang them things. And so, because when you fight with somebody bigger than you all the time, it's like you learn. So I learned how to put it down, right? But I would encounter a lot of different things, and I never understood that some of the warfare I was incurring was because of prophecy. Are you listening to me? And some of the trials that I went through, and I couldn't understand why am I going through this? This doesn't make any sense. But what I had not considered was there was a prophecy that had went before me that was creating waves in the spirit realm, and I was encountering opposition to make sure that my gift never came to fruition. And so I had inexplicable phenomenon in my life because of a prophecy that I didn't even know about. Because here's what you got to understand. What if there are prophecies made from your grandmother or your great-grandmother or your great-grandfather that you don't even know about that are according to the word concerning a future descendant that was going to do something great? Don't you know people die and prophecies don't? Prophecies live. Matter of fact, don't you know you inherit prophecies? Oh, listen to me. When God prophesies to a family, he prophesies to the entire household. And if one does not fulfill it, it's still out there concerning that seed line. So all the prophecies of grandfathers and grandmothers and moms and dads that have not been fulfilled, guess who they're falling to right now? You. And you may not even know about them. And you're wondering why you have certain warfare, why you're in certain trials, why you're having certain trouble. Listen, there's a prophetic word of greatness that is over your life, and you're incurring warfare. And you have yet to understand you need to fight back. I used to go through until I figured out it was a moment I came into contact with destiny. It was a moment I came into contact with what I was created for. I thought I was going in the right direction. I used to wonder why certain things didn't work out. Like, man, I did everything right. Why did it stop? Prophecy. Prophecy will block your stuff too. And I just want to encourage you today to fight the good fight of faith concerning your prophecies. This is why they always say, write it down. Get the recording. Listen to it. There's another scripture where Paul tells him, make sure you meditate on the prophecies concerning your life. When's the last time? Think about some prophecies that you've totally forgotten about, that you've let go, and you have not even been holding your faith to it. Concerning your music, concerning your business, concerning your plan, concerning your future, your family, your kids, what things have been said to you? And it was said a few years ago. Well, I guess some of us in here right now, we have given up on certain prophecies. Let's just be real. Well, it didn't happen. I guess they were a false prophet. Or maybe you have not yet walked it out. Well, it seemed like, has anybody ever noticed when you get a great prophecy, that's when all hell breaks loose in your life? Like, man. It seemed like everything that's happened since the prophecy is the complete opposite of what they have said. Now you know why. Now you know why. Well, they said I was going to do this and go great. And next week I lost my house and my job. Oh, that must have been a false prophet. No, prophecy begets war. But are there any fighters in this house that are willing to still hold on to the prophecy, the word of God spoken over your life, concerning your life, to make sure that it comes to pass? I want to encourage you to grab hold. Go pick that thing up again. Go back over the word. Go find the CD. Even some things that God has spoken to you in your prayer time and in your word time. Go back and pick it up. And don't you quit till you see it come to pass. You wore a good warfare. Don't just fight. Fight a good fight. Yes. Until you see it come to pass. Start declaring it's coming to pass. Even when everything in your face says the exact opposite of what you're believing for, you hold on to the fight of faith. Amen? Yes. Give the Lord a hand praise.
Thank you for listening. We're out of time. To enjoy more teaching, visit JaronCO'Neill.com or listen to Jaron C. O'Neill Podcast on all of your favorite platforms. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday morning celebration and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. for Rock With Me Wednesday Bible study. Watch us live on the Fountain Church app or Facebook Live. And you can also watch us on FountainChurch.com. We look forward to seeing you soon. Until then, remember, everything you need is in the fountain.